in the mood. Strong, if you want me to. If you want me to.
Say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me Bringing It On Home Gardener. Come to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hessler, Ontario. Scenic and chilly. We had the ice storm yesterday, so our ice station's Zeppelin this weekend. It's Easter weekend. It's Good Friday. It's kind of, well, nothing was open, and the roads were icy, and the trees were icy, so... Hey, had a quiet day and I thought I'd throw off a podcast. Took me 11 o'clock at night to get the podcast thrown off, though. You are listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 116 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble On Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might just happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes... leave a review there for whatever reason. Just pop over to Ramble On Radio and leave a quick review. It helps iTunes to see the podcast. I'm on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen to this on Spreaker, Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. And as well, a brand new, on Stitcher Radio. The podcast is on Stitcher Radio. You can get the Stitcher app for your phone, for your computer, whatever, and follow Ramble On Radio on that, and you can just listen to us on the fly. Listen to us anywhere you want to be. Also, check us out on YouTube. I have some previous podcasts every once in a while. I video on and put it up and have some previous stuff up there. You can follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. Facebook and Twitter, I certainly reply to, if you're out there and you're, is anybody using Google+? Is anybody, that one seems to be a complete fail, don't you think? Anyway, I haven't checked it in a long time, to be honest. But yeah, certainly I'm on Twitter. I try really hard. I make a point of not being one of those guys who's always on Twitter, who's got his phone, because it can be, I get it. It can be really, really a problem. And, so I kind of, but I do little spurts on Twitter and I try to keep an eye on it. So a couple of times a week, for sure, I'm on Twitter. If you contact me, I will get it. Same with Facebook. I keep a pretty close eye on the Facebook page and we had some stuff posted this week. It's a little more of an active page. It's a pretty good one. So that's, you heard in the intro, In the Mood from, Austin City Limits. Robert Plant recorded a broadcast for Austin City Limits this week. I think it was on Monday, and, it will appear on PBS in the U.S. if you're in the States, in October. It's kicking off the Austin City Limits season. But most of it, the videos on YouTube, I've posted it at RambleOnRadio.com. I have posted the video That's up on YouTube. Now the video starts with Turn It Up, which is the third song. It's Lemon Song, Rainbow, Black Dog. It seems to be out. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I kind of picked a place in the middle to, it started with Turn It Up. Like I say, I picked a place in the, I just kind of went, ooh, here. I was actually looking for the next song, No Place to Go, Days of Confusion. I thought, that's a good little interlude when I heard it. And I went with that. And I'm going to try an outro with some of No Place to Go / Dazed and Confused. But here's what he played on Austin City Limits. The Lemon Song, Rainbow, Black Dog, Turn It Up, Spoonful, In the Mood, No Place to Go / Dazed and Confused, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, I Just Want to Make Love to You / Whole Lot of Love / Hey Bo Diddley. For an encore, it was Rainbow. That's twice. I think I read somewhere they did Rainbow twice because it got something went wrong on it, but I could be wrong on it. Encore, Rainbow, Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down / In My Time of Dying. I'm going to have to check that one out for the for next intro, maybe. And Rock and Roll. So that's going to be in October, Robert Plant, in October. Okay, so, okay, let's do this quick. In history, this week, let's see, the 13th of March, 1975, the famous Rolling Stone cover took place. That was a Cameron Crowe cover story, and kind of the story around Almost Famous. The movie is kind of, you know, the kid trying to catch the big band, and that's sort of the story that he's telling in that movie. Obviously highly fictionalized in many ways, not the least of which is because Led Zeppelin is in the movie as a secondary act, or not a secondary act, but they're kind of the big act that everybody draws around, but it's not the act he's trying to get the interview with. But that's a fairly famous cover, and it was their first time appearing on the cover of Rolling Stone for Led Zeppelin, and no word whether they bought 5 copies to send to their mothers, but I'm guessing not. March 14, 1969, they did a communication breakdown on Swedish TV. It was a lip-synced performance, not a lick-synced, lick-sipped, but a lip-synced performance of Communication Breakdown on Swedish TV. On the 15th of March, 1975, Physical Graffiti hits number 1 on the UK charts. On the 19th of March, 1969, BBC recording, they did a BBC recording, Led Zeppelin did a recording for BBC for Alex Corner's Rhythm and Blues BBC World Service show. On the 21st, 2 days later, they recorded, 1969 again, they recorded Communication Breakdown for BBC TV on How Late It Is. On the same day in 1970, a year later, they kick off their North American tour in Vancouver. That'd be their third, fourth tour, I think, maybe their fifth. On the 22nd of March, 1975, Physical Graffiti hits number 1 in the U.S. 6 weeks it would stay there. On the 23rd, 1974, the band, plus Peter Grant and Richard Cole, attend Monty Python and the Holy Grail at the Drury Lane. They had invested in the movie. Monty Python was having a hard time putting money together for movies, and much of the rock community actually got them and invested in the movies. George Harrison was a big investor in The Life of Brian, for example. 27th of March, 1969, they appeared on the German TV show Beat Club. Performed Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and You Shook Me. And on the 28th of March, 1973, so 3 days from now is everything, Houses of the Holy was released. That would be, God, is it 43 years ago? So, and we're going to discuss that a little bit tonight. I kind of like covering the albums when the 5 and 10 year anniversaries. I kind of like really doing a whole episode on them. But I can't let it go past without being mentioned. And it kind of falls into something else I was going to talk about. So we will discuss that a bit tonight. Tonight's going to be kind of an all-over-the-place episode, a bunch of different stuff. Just some different ideas floating around. Don't know if it's going to be a long one. It's not going to be less than 10 minutes, obviously, because I'm already there. goes, wow, the time goes fast sometimes. Anyway, we've already talked about Robert Reiner in Austin City Limits. He also did a performance with Jimmy Vaughn at South by Southwest. It was the... let me see if I can get it real quick, because I believe I posted this on the website. I believe if you go to the website, rebelonradio.com, you can... you can see it. Robert, South by Southwest, Robert Plant teamed up, turned up at the Austin Music Awards on Thursday night. That would be Thursday a week ago. Something in the neighborhood of the 17th. Performing The Coasters' Young Blood, The Jive Fours, When I Was Single, and Clyde McFadder's Let the Boogie Woogie Roll. He fronted a band that featured Charlie Sexton and Jimmy Vaughn. And if you go over to RamblerRadio.com, there is a clip, about a 3-minute clip of that performance. Let me put my headphones down. So, Robert's been in his and he mentioned it a couple times on his shows. He has been in his former hometown. He lived in Austin for a little while and with Patty Griffin. Is it Griffin or Griffith? Her. And he seems to have spent about a week there, and he, like I say, recorded Dawson City Limits. He did South by Southwest. He appeared at the South by Southwest Music Awards, Austin Music Awards, which is part of the South by Southwest Festival. So, he had a good week in Austin. Nicer weather than here, I'm thinking. Just posted now on RambleOnRadio.com about an hour ago. Well, about 3 hours ago, actually. Ace Frehley, a former Kiss guitarist, Ace Frehley, has a new album come out April 15th. And one of the songs, and it's an album of cover songs. And I think I have the info on it, actually. What do you think of that? And one of the cover songs he does is Bring It On Home. And he does the, you know, like the Led Zeppelin version. Sings it himself. Some of the songs on the album, he has other people sing. This one, he sings it himself. And I have from another blog I do, I sometimes review music and stuff, and people send me, I get these weird sends from people that I don't expect. Because I don't keep it very active, and I don't, you know. I've been noticed over the years for whatever reason, and so I get these sends and every once in a while. And so I've got the Ace Frehley send, and I've been listening to parts of the album. I'm an old school Kiss fan. It goes back, they were when I was 13, you know. So this one interested me a little, and yeah, Bring It On Home is on there. He sings it himself. It's rocked, well, I would say it's rocked up, but the intro is not an acoustic, not... It's electric, and he's got some hot, kind of hot bluesy rock and licks in the middle. So it's, you know, baby, and then, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, is the best I can do for you. I requested permission to play the song, or, you know, a minute to do an intro on the song, maybe a minute, minute and a half of the song for the podcast. I was turned down. Now, I always bitch about these people won't do these things, but the truth was, quite politely asked me not to do it. I can't remember his name offhand anyway. Very quickly replied and quite politely asked me not to do it. So I have no beef with that. I'm not going to complain about that. I asked, they rejected. You know, if I was still sitting around waiting, I wonder if I'm going to be allowed to use that. That would pee me off, but. Not what happened. Songwriting credit, by the way, Willie Dixon, Jimmy Page, and Robert Plant is how it reads on this. So that's something to watch for anyway. April 15th, about three weeks from now. Ace Frehley's new album. Oh, it's called... It is called Origins Volume 1. And weird. I thought this was weird. And this is, you know, this is one of those things the media kind of sometimes grab on, and next thing you know, you have a controversy. Who knows? It's like, well, he's the spaceman. He's Space Ace. And he's a New Yorker. So there's a picture of New York kind of floating in the sky, and he's there, his guitar, and there's some guitars floating around. And then there's some UFOs flying around New York, including, and there's a Zeppelin over top, the number 27 on it. I'm not sure what that signifies. But he's got kind of UFOs. And the Twin Towers are in the picture. And I thought it was weird. They had this kind of flying motif with the Twin Towers. I thought that was, anyway, sort of thing. If it becomes a controversy 6 months or a month from now or 6 weeks from now, because sometimes the media see something like that and they go weirdly apey. And I thought, to me, it was just something that I thought that, you can avoid people like me talking about it if you don't do it. That's all. It's a kind of a weird cover. I'm not so sure I like it. I would say that. Although I think I get what they're coming from. Because New York City is his origins, you see, and he's the spaceman. And I get where they're going with it. But anyway, that's just something to notice when you see the cover. How's that? And wonder yourself if it's a bit odd. Alright, we got a couple of sale items, as it were. Yes, a couple of things. Scarlet Page was on this program back in, I'm going to have to open it and see, aren't I? I'm going to say 106, episode 106. It is still up on the various sites, I think. No, I am wrong. 102, episode 102. Scarlet Page was on this program. If you didn't hear it, go on over to Podbean. I think it's on Stitcher Radio. I think it's there. I think they're just doing the feed for everything. So number 102 is there, and you can listen to Scarlet Page talk about her book, The Resonators, which is out now. And she is making prints available from The Resonators. And they are... I'm going to a bunch of sources here, right? So they are... there's a 16 by 20... Now, they're on... they're signed, they're on frame, they're on fancy art paper... Etc. They're high quality prints, and they could be bought for £250 for a 16 by 20, or £400 for a 20 by 24, so 2 foot by just under 2 foot, or a foot and a half by just under 2 foot, depending on your. And that is, let me do a quick conversion, shall we? I'm not going to find it quick. It's not going to work. Oh, there we go. Great British pounds to Canadian dollars. $250 is $400. £400 is $645. That's a Canadian. And if you're in the States, U.S., it's $626. And... that can't be right, can it? Isn't that what I just said? 250. Anyway, you get the idea. $400, yeah, $391. So $400 ish, and $600 ish is what she's selling them for. And you can go to, let me see. The website is, I do have a link on rambleonradio.com. It's maybe the easiest way to go. It's called shootgroup.com, and then go print/Scarlet Page Resonators 2. But if you go rambleonradio.com, you can get the link there. If you go to Scarlet Page's Facebook page, you can get the link there. As well, the book is available. It's an expensive book. And it is available at hive.co.uk for £33.55. That's probably puts it up around $50, which is a lot. I mean, it's probably about half price of what she's actually selling it for on her website. So that's a good deal, and I'm not kind of undercutting her by telling you that because she's the person who advertised it. Meanwhile, my friend Dave Lewis, friend of the program, Dave Lewis, has made two of his books available at a discounted price, £18, I think it was, which is about $25 plus shipping. Lewis has been on this program a number of times, episode 100 and 101 most recently, also on episode 56, which is not still up, and it'll make it up eventually, but that's the first time he was on. And David and I spent a day in London having too much to drink one time, about 2 years ago. Everybody you meet, you know, being a Led Zeppelin guy and doing this, like you kind of meet some Led Zeppelin, you meet some people around, and everybody's met Dave Lewis. Everybody's kind of anybody, even a little tiny bit to anybody. Oh yeah, Dave Lewis, my pal Dave Lewis, you know. So my pal Dave Lewis is selling. Then as it was at Nebworth 1979 and Feather in the Wind over Europe 1980. Two books. It's an £18 package. And it's get them now while they're hot sort of thing. And I think it was each book you could get for £10. If you floated around his website, it was £10 for each or one of the other books. I recommend both. I recommend both highly if you're a Led Zeppelin fan. Feather in the Wind highlights the summer tour of 1980 through Europe, Germany, Belgium, that sort of thing. And it's a very underreported tour, and Dave was there for 5 or 6 shows. He wound up taking pictures backstage, basically, one day. He met the band a few times in the hotels and stuff. He was doing his Tight But Loose by then, and the band was aware of him, so they were happy to kind of let him do his thing. And they helped him out a little bit. I don't gather that he got free passes and whatnot, and that he paid for tickets on his own and did all that sort of stuff. But it also highlights from more or less the end of the 77, no, sorry, from the end of Nebworth right through to John Bonham's death. Really that kind of time frame, it covers the whole history. When the guys appeared on stage, you know, some stuff that happened. You know, the rumors of certain tours and that sort of thing. It covers the whole area, focuses on the tour, and it goes show by show on the tour. Lots of pictures of David Lewis's own collection, which is to say pictures you've never seen before. And it's a great book. Nebworth is, I think, possibly an even better one. He covers the two dates, his own personal history, other people's personal history of the gig, as well as the band's history from approximately the death of Robert Plant's son, the end of the 77 tour, until the Nebworth shows, the second Nebworth show, and the release a few weeks later of In Through the Outdoor. So these two books really compass the entire career of Led Zeppelin from the end of 77 tour to the end, to John Bonham's death. Really, really, really comprehensively. And they're easy reads, they're good reads, and I can't recommend them enough. And £18 for two, they're never going to be cheaper. So that's what's on in terms of you got money to buy and money to spend. If this was Christmas, I'd be yelling, God, buy them for your friends, buy them for your, but that's not quite Christmas, even though it's icy. And that covers all the kind of stuff that I had. So I was going to go with that. I posted a picture on Facebook today. Which was, it's kind of my Zeppelin record collection. I've been, if you're not on Discogs, if you've got the app for, I think on iPhone, I don't know about Android, but it's also a website. You can put your collection, it's basically a database of records and whatnot. And you can put in your collection, and then you can buy stuff. You can create a want list. You can buy stuff through there. You can sell stuff through there. They do all that, but primarily you can And you sit down and you put in the record number. You know, on the spine of the record, there's a number, Houses of the Holy here. It says, and I don't have my glasses on, so how would I know what it is? But usually easy to find, not always. No, it's not on Houses of the Holy here. And a few of the Zeppelin's one of those bands that did things funny this way and didn't end up in the spine. So I look on the record, right beside the Atlantic label, it says SD7255. So if you punch in SD7255 on Discog, Houses of the Holy will come up. Now, the downside is, you know, 50 different editions, and you got to decide, was it a Canadian, was it an American, was it this, was it that? There's a reissues, and you kind of have to fart around a little bit sometimes if you want to. I mean, if you just want to get, I have this record, click. Just grab the first one. Who cares if it's a Polish edition, if you're just trying to database the what have you got. But you'll find once you start doing it, you get a little fussy about, oh, I want the Canadian edition because this is a Canadian edition. And some have value and some don't. So you don't want to be convincing yourself there's value there where there's not, even if you're not really looking at that. But that said, it does not take long. And if you have it on your phone and they have a barcode on the record, you can scan the barcode and it'll bring it up. And it's not perfect. But it works a lot, and you can roll through a lot of records into the database really fast, because you don't have to sit and type stuff in, you know, it's already typed in. I've already done all my 8-tracks, my cassettes, some singles, and CDs. Those are all in. Just going through the records now, records what I have most of. And some cassettes weren't already in there. I had to put some cassettes in, more obscure stuff, I guess. Records I have yet to find anything. Oh, there's some class. I have some classical guitar ones that weren't in there, and I didn't bother with it. But in the rock genre and stuff, everything is in there. You just punch it up, and I do have some kind of obscure stuff. I have some, you know, limited editions and stuff like that. And I'll give you an example. The Jimmy Page, Lucifer Rising, the limited edition number, it was 480, and the first 90 were signed or something like that. And then there was the general one that was unnumbered, and both of those editions popped up I just searched the name because it didn't really have a record number traditionally the way they do. I just searched the name, it came up no problem. And both editions, and then just had to pick which edition I had and click. And that's a fairly obscure thing, right? It's one of 400 and something, and yet it's still in there. So everything's there. Everything's there. And speaking of the record collection and records, a couple of people noticed last week, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about The Firm and a funny version of Radioactive, plus Live, City Sirens, and I forget what the other song was. And I kind of noticed, I mentioned that it was on Mean Business. It was not on Mean Business. Last week I mentioned that, and I said, I guess it comes from something else. Where did it come from, was what I wanted to know. And a few people pointed out to me there was a 12-inch single, EP, which for you younger people who don't remember these things, an EP is extended play. And it tended to be like a single but they had more music on it, you know, they'd do a 7-minute single and they'd do a radio mix or something. So Radioactive is the radio mix. And the other side, there's a couple of performances live. The Firm live at Royal Albert Hall, apparently. City Sirens is one. I forget what the other one is. But not important, but that's where that comes from. Now, why I have it on my iPod, why I have it in my MP3 collection, I'm not quite sure. Why I have it as part of Mean Business, I'm really not sure. But that's where that comes from. There is an EP, a Radioactive 12-inch EP. I don't have it. And according to Discogs, see how I connect this? According to Discogs, it's not cheap. So, it's on my list now, and I can keep my eye open for it. It's right there with Coverdale Page, the LP. Which is hard to find as well, and which is expensive. And it's funny, I have a Coverdale Page picture disc, and it's an EP with, I forget, two songs, per side, I think it is. But one song, yeah, it's, I forget exactly what it is. And then the cover is not actually a cover. It's a poster. It's a big poster. It would be two squares, like a record is 12 by 12, right? So you fold out the poster, two squares by three squares, which is 36 by 24. It's a big poster. I have that, but I don't actually have the Coverdale Page album. Anyways, I showed the collector, it was just my records, but I have all my Zeppelin stuff is in now. We are at 59 things. And there is some singles in the mix that I haven't got in yet. So there's still some stuff. And interestingly enough, when you do Discogs, the bootlegs that I have, the album LP bootlegs, they're there. They're there. I got three of them. They're there. See what else have I got. So I got every album. I got How's the Holy twice. I got the A disc. And this is the thing. You go through In Through the Outdoor, there's like six different options for the album cover. In Through the Outdoor A cover, B cover, C cover. Oh God, I'm gonna do all that. So at least I know I have the A cover. I have three. I have two copies of three. One of them has Do What Thou Wilt Shall Be the Whole of the Law, or whatever it is that he has written in the dead wax, they call it. I picked that up last year. So that's kind of an American first edition is what that would be. Everything on CD, obviously. I just bought all the CDs. I was in my car one day. I went out to my car and I'm with my phone going, putting everything in. My wife says, what the hell are you doing out there? And I'm putting the CDs that are in my car and the phone. So yeah, everything on CD. Nothing too oddball there. Although I do have The Presence twice. And I've said this before. I really liked the 1994 remaster of Presence. It is so hot. I put it in my CD player. Wow, this is so hot. Here's where it gets interesting. Cassettes, I have two, three, Houses of the Holy. Yeah, that's the three cassettes I got. I got the boxes. I'm not worried about Mothership. I got box, Mothership. I got Coda 3. 8-tracks. I got all the 8-tracks. I got both the box sets for CDs. I got The Song Remains the Same box set LP. I think that, and I just kind of wanted to go. I thought it was interesting seeing what I had and what was there. So I wanted to go through all that stuff and mention about the. So now I have these two-time CD, and it's. Including I have a Atlantic Classic Rock, various artists. It's a Atlantic Anniversary disc, and it's bands. It's not like it's not a live performance. It's the songs, but it has see how cool this is. I can just sort it. It's got Days Confused and Whole Lot of Love on it, and Stairway to Heaven. So it's 66 to 88 Atlantic Records, and it's a CD. It's quite good, and it's got Robert Plant, Heaven Knows. So there you go. This stuff, Twisted Sister, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll, Foreigner, Urchin, Pete Townsend's Rough Boys, a couple of AC/DC songs, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Vanilla Fudge, You Keep Me Hanging On, that sort of stuff. That's a good CD. Anyway, so it's time to talk a little bit of House of the Holy. Pull out your copies and talk along if you want. And I won't talk long. I think I talked about it probably a couple of years ago when it was fresh and new, when it was the 40th anniversary, because I've been doing this 5 years now. That's crazy. I think that crazy. I wonder if I can find it. Houses. Let's see if I can find houses. I did in the 15th 15th episode, which is April, May of 2012. I did actually talk about House of the Holy, specifically the cover art. That's about it. So that's that goes back to when did I say episode 15, and that is not still up. But I'll get to. I've kind of working through the first part. It'll get there eventually. The thing about House of the Holy is, I've said this numerous times, not my favorite album. But it's something in the recording of the album. You go through the song by song. Song Remains the Same, Rain Song, Over the Hills, Far Away, The Ocean, Dancing Days, and No Quarter. That's... And I left out Jamaica and The Crunch, because they're just kind of fluff songs. But you know, just look at Song Remains the Same, Over the Hills, Far Away, and No Quarter. Absolute staples of the live show for the rest of their career, those songs. Dancing Days is one I think they did once live, maybe twice. And Robert Plant's, well, he's pulled it out on this tour a few times, and he's done it a few times, but not many. But it's one that when you go over what they did and didn't do live, that people talk about Dancing Days. They never did that. That would have been a great song to do. The Ocean was a big live song for a couple of years, as was the Rain Song. Song Remains the Same Song Remains the Same and like Over the Hills and Far Away are such great songs. They're such good songs. And when you got, it was a bit revelatory when the bonus stuff came out recently. 2 years ago, I guess. Wonder if I have it on my list. I think I do. How's the Holy Remasters? I talked about that. 2014. So September 2014. So 2.5 years ago, we were releasing. That's October of that year. So, 2.5 years ago, that came out. We were talking about it. And the thing was, with Over the Hills and Far Away and the Song Remains the Same being instrumental tracks, it was revelatory how complete they were without vocals, how comprehensive those songs were. And they really are phenomenal pieces of music, as is No Quarter. I mean, No Quarter was an absolute showstopper. Performance in, performance out for this band, up to and including 2007 in London. As was Song Remains the Same, was played at that show. You can't, the Dancing Days and the Ocean, those are just good pop rock songs of the era, and you can't complain about those. And then there's, the two, The Crunch and Jamaica. If you turn on the radio and Led Zeppelin, up here in Toronto anyway, if you turn on the radio and Led Zeppelin's popped on, there's a decent chance Jamaica is the song. It's a well played song. It's maybe 20% of the time that's the song that comes on. And I think I've probably, if I never heard it again, that would be fine. Not that it's an awful song, but that I've heard it that much that you turn on the radio and that's on. Like most people, that sort of thing gets to me after a while. And The Crunch is an oddball little song. And I swore that one episode I'm going to sit here and go over every song. Because what he's doing is rhyming off songs. So I've sworn I'm going to sit here and do that. I'm going to pick out what songs he's doing. What soul, the old soul James Brown style songs that he's working on. The Mr. Wonderful and that sort of thing that he's quoting. Robert Plant is quoting in that song. And... make an episode out of just doing that, but it's, and that involves homework, and I haven't got around to doing the homework. So, I would call House of the Holy an underrated album, only because I personally underrate it for quite a bit, I think. I think most people, a lot of people talk about the vocal recording. This sounds funny, it sounds sped up, and I think that's my kind of funny thing with it. I don't love the sound of that album. But at its heart, it has really great songs. Really great songs. And that comes across live very, very well, with how good some of that material is, how complex and yet, you know, pure rocky it is. And that's a tough combination to meet. So, anyway, that's all I'm going to say on it. That's going to be it for today. I'm not positive that, yeah, I'm still rolling. I accidentally hit quit, but it didn't quit. So, that's it for Ramble On Radio episode 116. Check out rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review, please. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com, and follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. Check it out at Podbean. I am Brian Dammit on Podbean, and check us out. Just search Ramble On Radio in Stitcher Radio, the Stitcher Radio app, and of course, check us out on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio episode 116, and I'm going to outro with, I'm not 100% sure what this is, but I'm going to say it's No Place To Go / Days To Confuse, and I'll outro with a minute or three of that. And we'll go from there.
When I'm old and gray, I ain't got no place to go. When I'm old and gray, I ain't got no place to go. Oh, you got yourself a young cat. Sweet little baby, I want you.